chapter 1. We spent some time here on Sunday, and we kind of looked at John the Baptist and the things pronouncing his birth and then to his birth, and we skipped a big chunk in the middle, and we're going to go back to that this evening. So Luke chapter 1, find verse 26. That's our text. If you're able, when you find your place, let's stand together. And I love that song too, Ben. O Come, Emmanuel is one of my favorite Christmas songs too. I actually kind of love them all, but and this new one, man, He Shall Reign Forevermore. And sometimes at Christmas time, we're just thinking about that babe born and laid in a manger and how lowly his birth was. But let's never forget that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Just hard to comprehend that, right? Virgin born to a lowly Jewish girl under circumstances for them that were really kind of controversial, to say the least. And man, just his lowly birth, God sent him, but he is reigning forever. Jesus, our Messiah. Isn't that good? Amen. Doesn't that just make you filled with some gratefulness tonight? Good. Hold on to that. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read our text tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for the time that we have to gather together. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are not able to be here. Lord, we pray for healing for those that are sick, comfort for those who are brokenhearted, and just grace, protection for those that may be traveling. But we're thankful for those who are here, and we pray that you'll bless our time together. We're thankful above all things for Jesus, our Messiah, the promised one, the Savior of the world, who came, became one of us, and lived sinless life for us, died for all of us, so that all who believe be saved. And we pray, Lord, that you've been glorified tonight, that you will be magnified tonight. I pray you'll bless the preaching of your word in spite of me. Please just give grace and teach us, help us that we can know you and make you known tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Amen. Please be seated. I just, in reading and thinking about and praying about this time of year and the birth of our Savior, spent some time in Luke chapter 1 lately and have just some, honestly, some thoughts that I want to share with you tonight as we consider the story of our Savior's birth from Scripture and I think some things that we can apply to us tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice is really pulled from verse 28 and verse 30. We read verse 28. "The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And then look at verse 30. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Favor is a good thing, right? Amen. Hey, I said, just to clarify, I said favor, not flavor. Just to make sure we're on the same page. Flavor is good too. We're talking about favor, and biblically what we're actually talking about is grace. We're talking about grace. So hold your place right here and turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, and find verse 3. And I want you to see this awesome parallel. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So he says that Mary is highly favored, and then he says that she has found favor with God. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God to this with this great message, and his message is that God's grace is on you, Mary. God's grace is on you. And here we read in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now, Ephesians starts with some of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible, but he's telling about how those who had first come to faith in Christ, they were blessed. And we have those same blessings today. And if you go on, it tells us this: those who heard and believed the gospel got these blessings, okay? But I just want you to get this. This phrase, highly favored, is the same word that we found in verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted, where he has made us accepted in the beloved. Get this. Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of God. You remember that with John's dad the other morning? Zacharias is like, how do I know what you're telling me is true? And Gabriel's like, I just came from God. That's how you know. Okay, so the same angel, Gabriel, comes and he tells her, you are highly favored. This is the same word we find. That's only two times this particular form of this word is used. It's in our text and here in verse 6. He's made us accepted. So here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that Mary was highly favored, and Mary was a very special young virgin in Israel. A very special young virgin in all of human history. Okay? Like, she stands apart from all the other girls who have ever lived. She was chosen by God. She was highly favored. But I want you to understand tonight that you who have trusted in Christ are highly favored too. You have been accepted in Jesus Christ. The grace of God has been given to you because he paid the price for your sins, and you believe. And so all of these great blessings that we just read about are yours because Jesus paid for them. And here's what I want you to get tonight. The first thought, number one, recognize and embrace God's grace in your life. Recognize and embrace God's grace in your life. What do I want you to do? I want you to see this. God sent Gabriel to her to say, you have been given grace by God. Like Noah in the Old Testament, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, you have found grace in God's eyes. You have been highly favored. God's grace has been given to you. And he says it to her again. You found favor with God. That's the same word for grace that we use all the time. God's grace. Can you earn grace? Please say no. No, you cannot earn grace. If it's earned, then it's by works. That's not grace. If it's grace, then it's not by works in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's just God's goodness. And I want you to recognize the grace of God in your life. What a great time of year to think about that. That God sent his only son down from heaven, from the glories of heaven. He sent him to be one of us. God came into this world. He came into humanity. He became where Adam, the first Adam, failed and wasn't obedient. Jesus Christ came, the second Adam, and was obedient in every way, fulfilling all the righteous requirements of the law and of the prophets, and fulfilling all the prophecies of Messiah. Jesus is all of those things, and he did that for you and for me. Not only that, but God's poured out his grace in your life every day. Has he not? Listen, we have a lot of good and perfect gifts that have come down to us. And every good and perfect gift that has come down, it's come to us from the Father of lights. It's from him. It's grace. It's goodness. We don't deserve it. So what we need to do is really work on recognizing God's grace. We need to be mindful. We need to be looking for God's blessings in our lives. And then we need to embrace that grace. And what do I mean by that? I mean, embracing God's grace is to realize that you actually have been given grace, that you actually have been forgiven, that God has actually taken away all your sins, that he has actually given you eternal life, that he's actually called you a son or a daughter, that he's made you a child of the living God, that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that you will never come under condemnation because your faith is in Jesus Christ, that you belong to him, and that you can actually get up every morning and be thankful to God, give praise to God for the grace he's given, and you can walk through your day, every day, living in the grace of God. That you don't have to beat yourself up for your sins and your failures. Jesus paid for that. Listen, do you need to repent? Yes. When you mess up, do you need to fess up? Yes. But you don't have to live under the burden of your sin anymore. Jesus took your sin away. He nailed it to the cross. He took your sin and your shame so you can embrace the grace and you can walk around living your life with the joy of the Lord because you know that God has been gracious to you. Okay? Recognize and embrace God's grace in your life. So we made it down to verse 30. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Look at verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary, God has given you grace. You have great grace in your life. You are accepted in God's eyes. You are highly favored. And let me go on to tell you, you don't have to be afraid, because God's going to do something amazing. You are going to have a son. And by the way, you don't even have to get any baby name books. You don't have to debate about that with anybody. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now what to name him. Now, some of you don't know what a blessing that is. Melissa and I, we had a boy name picked out and a girl name picked out before Abigail was born. We did. And then we used up that girl name. And Josiah came along. We used up that boy name. And then that third one came. And we had debated and read books and searched websites. And we just could not find the name that would fit this kid. And we struggled for months before he was born. And then he was born. And when they're in the hospital, and we're like, okay, it's a boy. What are you going to name him? And we're like, we have no idea. It would have been awesome if Gabriel would have showed up in the room and like, call him Jonathan. That would have been cool. But he didn't do that. And we're in the hospital for a couple of days, and the lady there at the hospital is like, "Listen, you don't have to name this kid before you go home, but it's going to be a really big problem for me and all the paperwork if you don't. So it'd be really helpful if you'd name this kid before you leave." And so we struggled with what to name that kid. Now, did anybody else struggle with baby names, or was it all easy for you? A couple of you did? Okay. All right, good. I don't even know what just happened over there. That's fun. So we had trouble with it. But Gabriel told them what to name Jesus. For good reason. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. It's the Old Testament Joshua, right? It is Jehovah Saves. His name is going to be Jehovah Saves. His name is going to be Savior, because he is going to save his people from their sins. So he comes down and he gives them his name. He says what his name's going to be. Look at verse 32. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Do you guys remember one of the things that Gabriel told Zacharias about John the Baptizer? He said, "He shall be great in the eyes of God. In the sight of the Lord." You guys remember that? We just looked at it Sunday. Listen, he said, listen, in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of God, John is going to be great. But notice what he says about Jesus. He shall be great. Not just in the eyes of God, but in every possible way. It's not limited. Some people looked at John and they didn't think he was so great, right? Yeah, remember there were people who wanted him dead. Head on a charger, remember that? Give me his head on a platter. Those people, they didn't think John was so great. People that he preached against and called out for their sin and called them to repentance, some of them didn't appreciate that. So he wasn't great in everybody's eyes. And listen, Jesus may not be great in everybody's eyes or not, but he is great in every possible way. God says he's going to be great. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest, the very Son of God. The Lord God is going to give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, that may not register with us and set off alarm bells, but for the Jews, I promise you it did. This is who they were waiting for. God had promised David, "I'm going to establish your kingdom and your throne forever." Listen, they got like Herod on the throne. They didn't like Herod. Herod was a proxy. Herod was not a real king. And so they were longing for one of the lineage of David to come. They were longing for David's descendant to come and to rule and reign over Israel. This is what they've been praying for. This is what they've been longing for. This is what they've been waiting for. And Gabriel tells this young girl, "Listen, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from his sins. And he is going to be the one who sits on the throne of David. The rightful king is coming, and he's going to be your child." Man, that's overwhelming, to say the least. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is the promise that God made to David, and now he's telling Mary this is going to happen, And verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary said, listen, I'm betrothed, but I'm not married yet. I'm not been with a man before. How am I going to have a son? In verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be what? Nothing. Well, what about nothing? Nothing will be impossible. Listen, Elizabeth was barren. She was too old to be having babies. Medically impossible, physically impossible, but God did it. Mary's a virgin. How could she have a child? That's impossible. That's right. That's why it's a miracle. Okay? And there will be people, listen, you'll probably, if you get online over the next week or two, you're going to see people twist the scriptures and try to say all kinds of things about Mary, how she wasn't really a virgin and she was just a young maiden and all kinds of nonsense. Jesus was miraculously conceived. Everybody with me? It's important that you know that. He was born of a virgin. And so he says nothing's going to be impossible. And look at what Mary says in verse 38. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, we don't really talk like this, but Mary says this. Here's what Mary's essentially saying. I am the Lord's servant. I belong to you. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. And whatever you say, let it be done. In the Old Testament, you guys remember the story of Eli and Samuel? Do you remember how Samuel was lent to the Lord by Hannah? She prayed for that child. She said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you. And she did. Eli was a mess. And that's a whole nother series of sermons. Eli was just a mess. But Samuel, when God started talking to him, he thought Eli was, he laid down to go to bed. He heard a voice and he ran in there. He thought it was Eli. And Eli's like, I didn't say anything. Go back to bed. Your kids ever do something like that? Just any excuse to get out of bed? Yeah. Go back to bed. I didn't say anything. Happens again. He runs in there. Here I am. I didn't say anything. Go back to bed. It takes Eli three times to realize what's going on, and he said, the Lord's calling you. So when he calls again, you say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm here. This is essentially what Mary's saying. I behold the handmaid of the Lord. What she's saying is, I am the Lord's servant. I belong to you, God. I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you say, let it be done according to your word. She is submitting herself to the will of God. And so this is number two. Number one was recognize and embrace God's grace in your life. Number two is be mindful of and submissive to the word of God. Be mindful of and submissive to the word of God. Remember what she said, back in verse 29? She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. You're going to find her later pondering things. Mary was a thoughtful young woman. She thought about the things of God. And can I just say, I know some of you are crazy busy this time of year, but this is a really good time for you to slow down and think about the word of God. It's a really good time to slow down and meditate on the word of God. I know a lot of school things going on, wrapping up the end of this semester. I know you got work things you're trying to finish up before the holiday. I know that you got all kinds of family things going on, and some of you are going to be rushing here and there trying to get to three different places on one day. I know all of that's going on, but let me just encourage you as a family to make time, schedule time, set aside time to slow down and read the Word of God and think about the Word of God. Did God have a message for Mary? You know, when you guys miss a question like that, I feel like I've lost you all. Did God have a message for Mary? Yeah, he sent Gabriel with a message. It came from God. It wasn't Gabriel's message. It was God's message. So yes, God had a message for Mary. Does God have a message for you? I mean, is it just words that God wrote just because? Or does God actually speak to each one of us individually when we open the Word of God and read it? Well, I'm persuaded that God isn't just putting it out there just because, but that he actually intends to speak to us individually when we read his word. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty stinking awesome, because some of this stuff was written a few thousand years ago, and God knew that in this year, in this place, in this time, that you and I would open up this book tonight and read these verses tonight, and that he had something he wanted to say to you tonight. That's incredible. That's awesome. That's wonderful. And every morning when you wake up, God's got something to say to you. And as you go through your day, and you shouldn't just read it, check it off your list, and go on, but we ought to meditate on it. We ought to be mindful of it. We ought to think about it, because God's trying to talk to us. She was mindful, and she was submissive to the word of God. All right, we're going to move on. Look at verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So remember, Gabriel said, listen, you're going to have a son. The Spirit of God's going to come on you. The baby you're going to have and name Jesus, he's going to be actually God's son. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to be born of the Holy Spirit. God's going to do something incredible and amazing. And he's going to go around. He's going to go around the man. He's going to make his son by the power of his Spirit in you. God's going to do that. And in case you need some evidence of God's power, your cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. The one who was barren, the one who couldn't have any kids, and now she's too old to have kids, she is already with child. And so when Gabriel leaves and goes back to the Lord, Mary gets up and with haste goes to Judah and enters into the house of Zacharias and sees Elizabeth. She wanted to see for herself. Okay, this is number three. We had to go out of our way to see the wonderful things that God has done. Now, you might be thinking, well, she just wanted evidence to see if it was true or not. And maybe she did. But I tend to think that she believed it, and that she just wanted to be a part of it. Not like I got to go see if this is true or not, but that she just wanted to go out of her way to see the wonderful things that God has done. And can I say, you and I, we ought to go out of our way to see the wonderful things that God has done. We ought to go out of our way. What does that mean? That means that you ought to make time to look into the scriptures to see what God's done. You ought to take time. When you go out tonight to just stop for a moment and look up at the stars and be in awe at God's creative power. You ought to take time to slow down in the morning and look at the sunrise and breathe in the fresh air and just realize the goodness of God that he has given us day after day after day. Amen? Fellas, you ought to take time. You ought to take time just to gaze lovingly into your wife's eyes and be amazed at the grace of God. Amen. Because let's just face it, you all married up. 100%. And she doesn't know what she did to deserve you, but she's repented long ago. Amen. It's too late. But she's repented and you've been blessed. Hey, you ought to take time. Our kids are getting older now. This doesn't happen as often, but you ever go into your kids' rooms at night just to check on them before you go to bed? You ever watch your kids sleep? You ever do that? I mean, not like in a creepy way, but you don't know what's going on over here. Man, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. I feel the grace of God and the goodness of God watching my kids sleep. You know, they're very precious when they're asleep. Sit around the table. Hey, do any of you guys ever eat dinner around the table anymore with your family? A few of you do. Man, sometimes we get the family around the table. We're all around the table, all with our food. And I just sometimes just stop and I'm just in awe of how good God has been. So I can look in the Word of God. I can look at my family. I can look at my friends. I can look at you here at the church. I can look everywhere and see the wonderful things God has done. And we ought to go out of our way to see that. We ought to rejoice in his goodness. because he is so good. She wanted to go see. So she goes down there to Elizabeth's house, Zacharias' house. She goes in and salutes Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary, John leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit of God. And that's just awesome. By the way, that was a baby that leaped in her womb. From the time he was conceived, he was a baby. He didn't become a baby magically when he was born. He was already a baby. Amen. Is that clear enough? Okay. Verse 42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit of God. She is praising God. She is rejoicing with the joy that she has, that John has, that Mary has. And it is a time of wonder and no doubt confusion, but it is a time of joy. And they are rejoicing in the wonderful things that God has done. So one, we recognize and embrace God's grace in our life. Number two, we are mindful and submissive to the Word of God. Number three, we go out of our way to see the wonderful things God has done. And number four, we magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. So Elizabeth is praising God. And then look at verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And so Mary just picks up Elizabeth's praise and starts magnifying the Lord God, rejoicing in God her Savior. Now, I want to ask you this. Is God your Savior? Have you received his grace? Has he given you his mercy? Has he fulfilled his promises to you? Yeah, he did that through his son Jesus. And so we have great reason to magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. We're a week away from Christmas, guys. And tonight I really want to just encourage you to be intentional about spending time looking for God's goodness. That's really the point. Look for God's goodness because it's there. And then, of course, praise him. I don't know everybody's family traditions. I have no idea what everybody does. But I think most people around here have a tree up in your house with some lights on it. And most of you by now have some presents wrapped under the tree. I mean, even Zach probably has a present under the tree with his name on it. No? Not even Zach. At your house? No? He does. See? There you go. He will tonight? Okay, all right. Even Zach, by tonight, will have a present under the tree with his name on it. I know some of you got to go travel here and there and yawn to go visit family. And I know that this time of year for some of you is just a blur as you try to rush from one place to another and all those things. I know that for others, this time is also filled with sorrow. It is an emotional time. It's an overwhelming time because there are still places around the table where the chair is empty. I know, but I just don't want you to let any of that, any of the busyness, any of the other things we do at Christmas time, any of the sorrow, any of those things take away from you rejoicing in God your Savior, because really it's about him. And the hope we have, and the joy we have, and the peace we have, and the gifts we have, it all is only possible through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's stand together. We're going to close with a song tonight. And while we get ready for that song, I just want you to consider tonight how good God's been to you. Maybe somebody in the room has never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you have, but you've lost that joy, and now would be a great time to get it back. Think about the grace that God's given you. Maybe lately you've just been struggling to walk in that grace, to embrace that grace, and really live in the forgiveness of Christ. Whatever he's convicting your heart about tonight, I just plead with you that you'll respond in faith and obedience to Jesus while we sing together.